Could you talk a little bit more about the difference between a randomized phase two and a randomized phase three in terms of the, you know, sort of how to interpret it and what the intent is?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of controversy about randomized phase two trials. Statisticians and many will tell you that these are underpowered studies, that they, in fact, are so underpowered because they're small populations. Here's a clinical trial with a total of about 165 patients total randomized to two arms. And they'll tell you that they're so underpowered that you're as likely to get a negative signal as you are a positive signal. On the other hand, those of us who have been doing clinical trials for some time, despite that relatively valid statistical criticism, we've come to appreciate that these randomized phase two trials do in fact give you an important lead as to what questions to ask next and whether or not a definitive randomized phase three trial that's powered to look at a statistically significant difference in survival outcome is worth the investment. You know, there are so many novel biological agents that are being developed now that pharmaceutical companies are in the situation of having to measure how much investment do we put into the development of these drugs? Is there some way to get a signal early on? Especially since many of these drugs are competing for limited resources with other drugs that are in their pipeline. It's particularly true with anti-angiogenic drugs. Our lead agent, bevacizumab, the monoclonal antibody that binds the ligand, VEGF, in 19 patients with non-small cell lung cancer in a phase two trial, there were no objective responders. So we've learned that we cannot use objective response, a radiographic response, as the be-all and end-all endpoint for simple screening of a lot of these novel agents.
Do you think that the conduct of these trials is precise enough that you can really tell the difference between, you know, 12 weeks and 8 weeks in terms of progression?
Well, remember, that's the median point. What we do look at, obviously, is the entire survival curve. And the Kaplan-Meier plots do take into account the entire progression-free survival. The progression-free survival curve with ZD6474 departs early from the progression-free survival of gefitinib and remains separate throughout its entire duration. We may pick a certain point for descriptive purposes, such as the median progression-free survival, and note that it is a month longer with ZD6474 than it is with IRESSA. I agree with you completely. This is a small difference, relatively speaking. But again, the purpose of this trial was to get a signal.